This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to a long-tenured employee who has developed deeply ingrained habits. A practical guide to changing old patterns without breaking trust. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give feedback effectively to a long-tenured employee whose habits have calcified over years, without destroying the trust that makes them worth reaching. Separate the behaviour from the person before you open your mouth. Prepare specific examples so the conversation stays grounded in fact. Follow up consistently, because one conversation rarely changes a deep habit. Definition: giving feedback effectively to a long-tenured employee means delivering clear, evidence-based observations about ingrained behaviour in a way that respects their history, invites genuine dialogue, and creates a realistic path toward change without triggering defensive shutdown. You have sat across from someone with 20 years in the role and tried to tell them something is not working. You watched their face close down. They smiled politely, said something like "noted," and walked out the door to do exactly the same thing the following Monday. If that sounds familiar, you are not alone. Knowing how to give feedback effectively is hard enough in ordinary circumstances. When the person across from you has been doing this job since before you arrived, the challenge compounds. Their habits are not just habits. They are identity. Telling a veteran that a long-standing behaviour needs to change can feel, to them, like you're questioning the last 2 decades of their professional life. That is the real reason these conversations fail. It is not a lack of courage. It is a lack of structure. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for giving feedback to a long-tenured employee that you can apply in your next conversation. Why giving feedback to veterans is harder than it looks. Knowing something needs to be said and knowing how to say it are 2 entirely different skills. Most people understand this gap the moment they sit down in that chair. Here is what makes these specific feedback conversations genuinely difficult. The history cuts both ways. A long-tenured employee has real achievements, and they know it. Any feedback that lands as ingratitude risks shutting the conversation down before it starts. Their habits have been rewarded. The behaviour you're raising probably served them well at some point, which means they have good reason to trust it. You are not just asking them to change what they do. You are asking them to question what worked. Defensiveness is a survival response. When identity is threatened, people stop hearing the words and start managing the emotional threat. Understanding how this works is worth reading about. How the amygdala hijack sabotages feedback conversations and what to do about it explains it in practical terms. Vague feedback is easy to dismiss. You need to communicate better gives a veteran nothing to grip. Without specifics, they can nod, agree, and conclude internally that you simply do not understand their approach. You may lack the authority they respect. If you're younger, newer, or in a different function, they may not see you as someone whose feedback carries weight. Credibility must be earned through precision, not position. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Number 1. Your specific example. Ready. Do not walk in with a general impression. Name a moment, a meeting, a deliverable, a date. Specific evidence transforms an opinion into an observation. A veteran employee will immediately challenge anything that feels like a vague generalization, and they will be right to do so. Number 2. Your intent examined. Before you say a word to them, be honest with yourself about why you're raising this. Are you trying to help them grow, or are you managing your own frustration? If it is the latter, do more preparation first. Feedback delivered from frustration sounds like criticism. Feedback delivered from genuine care sounds like an investment. Number 3. Your willingness to listen. This conversation is not a monologue. A long-tenured employee is context you may not have. Go in expecting to hear something that changes your understanding and prepare yourself to adjust your view if the evidence warrants it. That openness is not weakness. It is the thing that makes them willing to hear you at all. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Earn the right to be heard. This step is about building enough trust before the conversation that your feedback has somewhere to land. You cannot deliver hard truth to someone who does not believe you are on their side. With long-tenured employees especially, a single conversation does not happen in isolation. It sits inside a relationship, and if that relationship is thin, your feedback will be filtered through suspicion. Invest in the relationship before the conversation. Make a point of acknowledging this person's specific contributions in ordinary, day-to-day moments, not just before a difficult conversation. Have at least one genuine, non-agenda conversation with them in the weeks before you plan to raise the issue. Ask for their perspective on things that matter to them. Show that you find their experience valuable. When you do raise the feedback, reference the relationship explicitly so they know you are not operating from a complaint. Example, before sitting down with Martin, a 22-year veteran on the operations team, his manager spent 3 weeks making a point of asking for his input on process decisions. Not as manipulation, genuinely. When the feedback conversation came, she opened by saying, "I value what you bring to this team, and that is exactly why I want to have a straight conversation with you." Martin did not love what he heard, but he listened. The relationship gave the words a place to land. When this step is done well, the employee enters the room feeling respected, not ambushed. Step 2. Name the behavior with precision. This step is where most feedback conversations either stand up or fall apart. The behavior you are addressing must be described in observable, specific terms. Not your attitude in meetings. Not the way you sometimes come across. Those phrases are easy to reject because they are impossible to verify. Instead, name the action, the moment, and the impact. A veteran employee has decades of counter-evidence stored in their memory. Your job is to give them something concrete enough that it cannot be argued away. Write down the specific incident before the conversation, what happened, when, who was present, what the visible effect was. Use this framing. In situation, I observed behavior and the impact was result. The SBI method is a practical tool for structuring this with precision. Avoid words like always and never. They invite the employee to find one exception and use it to dismiss the whole point. If you have more than one example, use two at most. Three or more feels like an attack. One might feel insufficient. Two says this is a pattern, not a moment. After you name the behavior, stop talking. Give them the space to respond. What happens in that silence tells you more about the conversation ahead than anything else. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Invite their story before you push your solution. This step separates good feedback from great feedback, and most people skip it. Before you move to what needs to change, ask the employee what is driving the behavior. There is almost always a reason a habit has persisted. It might be a workaround for something broken in the system. It might be a response to past experience you know nothing about. It might be a genuine difference in values. You will not know until you ask, and if you skip this step, you risk prescribing the wrong solution entirely. Ask a direct, open question. Can you help me understand what is behind this for you? Listen without preparing your rebuttal. Actual listening means that employee can see it on your face. Reflect back what you heard before you respond. So what I'm hearing is that this approach feels safer to you because of what happened in 2019. Is that right? Do you not agree with the rationale you disagree with, but do acknowledge that you heard it? Those are different things. Use the empathy bridge before moving forward if you sense the employee is starting to shut down emotionally. Example, a team leader raised concerns with Sandra, a 15-year project coordinator, about her habit of going directly to senior leadership rather than through the team. Sandra's explanation was that she had watched three previous managers ignore critical risks. The team leader had not known that. Acknowledging it did not mean accepting the current behavior, but it allowed the conversation to move forward from a place of shared understanding rather than conflict. Once you understand the story behind the habit, you can address the root, not just the symptom. Step 4. Agree on a specific, observable change. After the employee has been heard, the conversation must move to what changes, and that change must be concrete. Vague commitments do not hold. I will try to be more aware of it is not an agreement. It is a polite exit. Your job is to help the employee define what the changed behavior actually looks like, so that both of you will know whether it has happened. This is where the GROW method becomes useful. It gives the conversation a structure that moves from awareness into action. Ask the employee to describe, in their own words, what the changed behavior would look like in a real situation they can name. Agree on one change at a time, not three, not five. 1. Set a specific time frame. Let us check in on this in 3 weeks after the next project review. Write it down. Not as a formal document, but as a shared note that both of you keep. It signals that this conversation was real, not procedural. Confirm understanding by asking them to restate their agreed change before you close the meeting. The point of this step is not compliance. It is shared ownership of the outcome. Step 5. Follow up without letting it fade. One conversation is a beginning. Habit change happens in the space between conversations. Here is the truth of it ingrained. Behavior does not shift because of a single meeting, no matter how well the meeting goes. The follow-up is where real change either takes root or withers. Most managers have the courage to start the conversation, but not the consistency to sustain it. That inconsistency is what teaches the employee that they can wait you out. Schedule the follow-up before you leave the room. A vague "let us check" and soon means it will not happen. When you do meet again, start by acknowledging any progress you have genuinely observed. Specificity matters here too. I noticed that in last Tuesday's meeting, you brought the concern to the team first is worth 10 times more than you seem to be doing better. If there has been no change, name that plainly and return to step 2. One reset is not a failure. It is part of the process. Keep a brief private record of each follow-up, what was discussed, what was observed, what was agreed. Example. After a productive initial conversation, a manager set a 3-week follow-up with a long-tenured colleague. At that meeting, he opened with, "I want to start with what I have seen change, because I think you've made a real effort here." He named 2 specific instances. The colleague's posture shifted. The second half of that follow-up was more honest than the first conversation had been. Consistent follow-up does 2 things. It holds the employee accountable, and it signals that you took the original conversation seriously. Step 6. Protect the relationship throughout. Feedback given well strengthens a working relationship. Feedback given poorly can corrode years of trust in a single conversation. Throughout this process, you are managing 2 things at once: the content of the feedback and the health of the relationship. Long-tenured employees often have strong informal influence within a team. If they leave a difficult conversation feeling humiliated or dismissed, that feeling spreads. Your goal is for the employee to walk away thinking, "That was hard to hear, but I respect how it was handled." Before your next feedback conversation, it is worth using a preparation framework. How to use the strong method to prepare before a high-stakes feedback conversation gives you a structured way to do exactly that. After the initial conversation, check in informally within 48 hours. A brief, neutral exchange signals that the relationship is intact. Do not preference the feedback conversation in grouped settings, ever. If the employee seems withdrawn or cold in the days following the conversation, name it quietly and directly. "I want to make sure we are okay." Separate performance conversations from recognition. Continue to acknowledge their genuine contributions in public. When the relationship stays strong, the feedback has a better chance of doing its work. Adapting this process for remote or hybrid teams. Remote feedback conversations with long-tenured employees carry an extra layer of difficulty because you lose the physical cues that tell you how the conversation is landing. Use video, never text or email. Written feedback is the most dangerous format for a veteran employee with ingrained habits. They can read the same sentence 6 different ways, and without your tone and expression, they will often choose the most threatening interpretation. Always deliver this kind of feedback on a live video call, camera on. Build in more silence than feels comfortable. On video, silences feel longer and are easier to fill badly. Resist the urge. After you name the behavior, wait. Count to 5 internally if you need to. The employee's first unfiltered response is some of the most important information you will receive, and you will miss it if you keep talking. Schedule a shorter first conversation. In person, you can read when someone is saturated and needs time. On video, that is harder. Aim for 30 to 40 minutes maximum for the initial feedback conversation, then schedule a follow-up call within a few days rather than trying to resolve everything in one session. This also reduces the risk of emotional flooding during the conversation. Be more explicit about tone. In a face-to-face room, your body language carries much of the warmth. On video, you must say more of what you would otherwise show. "I want you to know I am raising this because I respect what you bring here" is a sentence you might not need in person. On video, it is essential. The core process holds in any format. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: opening with a compliment that feels engineered. Why it happens: we are taught to soften criticism with praise, and so we sandwich the hard message between two thin slices of flattery. What to do instead? Lead with respect, not performance. Say why you value the employee, briefly and genuinely, and then move directly to the feedback. A veteran will hear a manufactured opener for exactly what it is. The mistake: generalizing instead of specifying. Why it happens: specific examples feel aggressive. Generals feel kinder, but they are not. What to do instead? Name the moment, the meeting, the email, the date. Specificity is the kindest thing you can do because it gives the employee something real to work with. How to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it covers this principle in team contexts as well. The mistake: solving the problem without asking about the cause. Why it happens: we see the behavior, we know the fix, we move straight to prescription. What to do instead? Ask before you advise. The behavior has a history. You need to understand it before you can address it. The mistake: giving the feedback once and considering the job done. Why it happens: the conversation felt complete. You said what needed to be said. You move on. What to do instead? Schedule the follow-up before you leave the room. One conversation plants a seed. Consistent follow-up is what waters it. The mistake: raising the issue in a group setting or in earshot of others. Why it happens: sometimes an incident happens in a meeting and the temptation to address it immediately is strong. What to do instead? Note it, hold it, and address it privately. A veteran employee who feels publicly corrected will not hear the content. They will only feel the indignation. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin, and after each cycle. I have identified a specific, observable behavior, not a general impression. I have at least one concrete example with a date, situation, and visible impact. I have examined my own intent, and I'm acting from care, not frustration. I have chosen a private setting with no time pressure. I have prepared an opening that acknowledges the employee's genuine contribution. I have a clear, simple description of the impact the behavior is having. I have questions ready to invite the employee's perspective before I push solutions. I know what a concrete, observable change would look like in practice. I have a follow-up meeting scheduled or will schedule one before I leave the room. I have a plan to check in informally within 48 hours to protect the relationship. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a process that respects the complexity of giving feedback to someone whose habits are woven into their professional identity, and a set of tools that can make each conversation more productive than the last. Feedback to a long-tenured employee fails most often because of vagueness, not courage. Name the behavior precisely. Build the relationship before the conversation. Trust is the ground the feedback grows in. Ask about the story behind the habit before you prescribe a change. You will almost always learn something that improves your response. Agree on one specific, observable change and write it down together. Follow up consistently. One conversation is a beginning, not an ending. Protect the relationship throughout, because how you handle this conversation will define how every future conversation goes. Give feedback effectively not as a single event, but as an ongoing practice of honest, respectful attention. If you want to strengthen your preparation before conversations like these, read how to use the strong method to prepare before a high-stakes feedback conversation. If you want to understand how feedback builds or damages broader team dynamics, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth your time. And if you want to understand the communication patterns that make or break these conversations in meeting settings, the role of communication in meeting success will round out your understanding. The ability to give feedback effectively to a veteran who is set in their ways is one of the rarest and most valuable skills a leader can possess. Build it, and you earn the deep respect of every person who works with you. Frequently asked questions. How do you give feedback effectively to a long-tenured employee? Give feedback effectively to a long-tenured employee by preparing specific examples, choosing a private setting, and focusing on observable behavior rather than personality. Acknowledge the contribution before raising the concern. Make the conversation a dialogue, not a verdict, and agree on concrete next steps together. Why is it hard to give feedback to experienced employees with ingrained habits? Experienced employees often interpret feedback as an attack on their identity, since their habits are tied to years of success. They may dismiss the concern or become defensive. The challenge is separating the behavior from the person and delivering feedback with enough specificity that it cannot be dismissed. What is the best method to give feedback effectively without causing defensiveness? The most effective method is to lead with a clear, specific observation rather than a generalization, then invite the employee to respond before offering a direction. This approach reduces defensiveness because it shows respect for their perspective and treats the conversation as a shared problem to solve. How do you give feedback to someone who has been doing the job longer than you? Focus entirely on the impact of the behavior, not on your authority to raise it. Use specific examples with dates or situations. Ask questions before making statements. Keeping the conversation grounded in observable facts reduces the power dynamic and makes the feedback harder to dismiss. How often should you give feedback effectively to a veteran employee? Regular, low-stakes feedback works better than a single high-pressure conversation. Brief, consistent check-ins after specific situations build a habit of honest exchange. This means the employee does not experience feedback as a crisis event, and you build the trust needed for harder conversations over time. What should you do if a long-tenured employee rejects your feedback entirely? Stay calm, restate the specific behavior and its impact without escalating, and give them time to process. Not every employee accepts feedback in the moment. Follow up within a few days. If rejection continues and the behavior affects the team, document your conversations and involve your manager or HR as appropriate. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.